I went to bed very, very late, so I woke up like
11:30.
Okay. That is the greatest thing, by the way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's high quality, and you just plug it into the USB port in the computer, and it
really
shows right up, and you've got it.
I turned this off. I'm just gonna leave this one on because this is my office. So.
Right.
It's something urgent because right now with the Night Buffalo, it's like crazy.
Well, give me the basic rundown on the Night Buffalo. So, just for starters.
Yes.
I'm not gonna be able to see it, right?
No, you're gonna be able to see it. You want to see it?
Well,
before Sunday.
I can write a slightly better, more interesting piece. Let
me have a copy with subtitles. And I will show it to you, unless you can understand Spanish.
My Spanish is nowhere near.
Okay, so let me have
I speak tourist Spanish.
You know. I have a DVD. Pero estoy en entrevista. ¿Se urge?
Sorry, hold on. Mine
is great.
And I got you a Coke. Did you want water?
Yeah, no, the Coke is all right.
Okay, I know.
Thank you.
Coke, so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me know if you need anything, okay? I'll be upstairs. Thanks.
So I have a DVD, but it has no color timing. It doesn't have the music from.
You said it has no subtitles?
No subtitles.
Oh, so
it has subtitles. No. There's one I have with subtitles. And the subtitles I approved. They were like subtitles just for some people to understand it.
Okay.
It has no color timing, it has no sound mix, so I would like to show you something good. But if I cannot have a subtitle copy, I will show you that. Okay?
Sure.
But that's a work in progress. Right now I'm finishing the film. That one I will show you. It's very, very, very far away from what is now.
Okay. I can't remember the name of the lead. You know, it was Anitu Mamba Tambien.
Diego Luna.
Diego. Is this his? When they came off Anitu Mamba Tambien, the consensus was that Gael chose more wisely, and then Diego made the remake of. Nine Queens.
Yeah, Criminal.
Criminal. Anyway, that he didn't. But this sounds like it's. But Alejandro was saying last night he's learning, and this is a good move for him, from what he understands. But he doesn't know. He hasn't seen your film, so.
No, I think it's the. For me, I don't know if Diego was gonna like this, but I think it's his best work.
Why not?
I think it's his best work. He took a lot of risks.
He what?
Took a lot of risks as an actor in this film.
Isn't that the way to do it?
Yes, but everyone took a lot of risks. And I think that Diego make a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that he is going to be like reconsidered. All those words will be reconsidered with this film. He looks very manly. He looks like a man. He's not the boyish kind of actor you have seen before.
Did he put on weight?
He lost weight.
Lost weight.
He's like strong, and he portrays a character that goes from 16 to 23, and he will throw those faces.
Could I ask you to offer a brief summary of the arc of the film? Because I haven't really done my reading or anything. I never read this script. So.
Okay. Well, this is based on one of my novels, The Night Buffalo.
Which you wrote when?
I wrote it from 1995 to 1999, before Amores Perros.
Okay.
It was published in
1999. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you a copy.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, I'm going to get you a copy. Let me see if my agent has a copy, and I will give it to you right away.
It took you 4 years to write it, huh?
4 years and a half.
Wow.
I began in January 1995. I finished it it must be June.
Do most things take you a while to write? Are you a prolific writer?
No, I'm. It depends. It depends. Now it's because I take a lot of care of language.
Right.
Even with my screenplays that I consider literature, I take care of the language.
Your scripts, I've read two of them,
yeah.
Extremely well honed. They don't feel Anyway, slapdash, so that's a credit.
Well, thank you. And it, and it's not my mother language. My mother tongue, you say?
Mm-hmm. Mother tongue. Yeah.
My mother tongue. So, this is a story of a guy, Manuel, who has a best friend. His best friend is schizophrenic. His name is Gregorio. And Gregorio trusts Manuel, like his brother, and is very much in love with his girlfriend, Tanya. And while he goes in and out of the mental asylums, Manuel and Tanya began having a relationship. First it's sexual until they fall in love. They finish their relationship. Of course, the friendship between Manuel and Gregorio is destroyed. And when it seems that they are going to reconcile, Gregorio kills himself. When they say, okay, man, we are set, and the doctor says he's out of the hospital because he's now cured of the schizophrenia, he's controlled, he kills himself. Mm. And that's how it... and this is a page two of the novel.
Wow.
And...
why would he... Again, if he's taken risks and he's gone to places that he wasn't certain of, that is what every actor I've ever met talked to about it. They're always proud of that. They always say, well...
He's very proud about it. He's
then why wouldn't he like it?
No, he's very proud about it. No, no, what I'm not like it is I'm saying that it is his best work. I don't know if he considers other his best work, but I consider this his best work.
Okay.
I think everyone is going to consider this his best work. He's subtle, he's... He really, I think he has a presence in the film.
Now, should I edit out you divulging the ending? Because, you know, sometimes...
No, this is not the ending.
Oh, this is just the setup?
The page
setup.
Two.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
This happens on page two.
Okay.
No, the ending, it's a little bit changed from the novel. The ending, it's completely different. It's a love story. It ends as a love story. The way I have my love stories, you know them, like a Amores Perros love stories. It's
sure. It's
intense. Mm-hmm. It's it has, of course, the way I structure screenplays, mm-hmm. And it's not only my adaptation. Jorge, the director, co-adapted.
How did you happen to meet and get to know the director who had directed this one? As you explained to me, I'll just say for the sake of the tape, that the only film he has done is a short film.
It's a short film.
Happened to have been shot in Poland.
Yeah.
And what is the name of the short film again?
It's One Step Close to the Sky, or to Heaven. One Step Close to Heaven. You know, I have been for some time juror in short film festivals.
Okay.
So I have seen... I have been around Mexico and several countries being a juror. And I was once in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And there were 120 short films from all around the world. And suddenly I saw this short film in Polish. And I was so amazed that I asked to see it again, and see it again, and see it again. I saw it 5 times. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it says Jorge Hernandez, Aldana, director, and I say, well, this doesn't sound Polish.
What is the name, by the way, just to stop for a second, of the film festival that is in Venezuela?
It was called the Venezuela Short Film Festival, the Caracas Film Festival. And you know, I don't know, you have been a juror in short film festivals, but you see a lot of bad things.
Most anything is
bad.
Crap.
Yeah. It's crap. Yeah, when you see something good, you immediately know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very mature director, mm-hmm. with very elegant with the camera, very elegant with the actors. And I went and asked who he was. We gave him the award of mm-hmm. best film at that festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, Jorge, my name is Guillermo Arriaga. I'm a fan of your work. Congratulations. I would like to work with you someday. And that's it. He went back to Warsaw, where he was living with his wife. Warsaw.
Right.
He lived in Warsaw. He had been living there because he studied at the Lodz which school?
Well, his name is Hispanic, though, so
yeah,
where did he come from?
He's from Venezuela.
From Venezuela.
But he went to study to the UCH, LODZ, L-O-D-Z.
L-O-D-Z, right.
School.
Okay.
And
is that a well-respected school?
It's one of the most.
Okay.
That's where Polanski came out.
Right.
Where Kieslowski. Kieslowski and Polanski were teachers of him.
Right, okay.
And, you know, all these great
DPs
also teach there.
Hmm.
So when I was putting the production together, I asked a couple of Mexican directors. They say no. I want a first-time director. And then I remember him. I call him, are you interested? He flew from Barcelona. And now he's Mexican. That was almost 5 years ago.
Mm.
We spent a long time adapting the novel. It's not an easy novel to adapt.
Because it's longish, you mean?
No, it's very literary. Okay. It happens mostly in the head of the narrator.
Okay.
It's in first person, so it was difficult to adapt.
Right.
And it goes through several ups and downs.
How long is it, the film?
How long?
Yeah.
Maybe. 1 hour, 34 minutes. I think.
It's
very tight.
Very tight, yeah.
Pretty tight, and...
How many pages was the script?
87. I wanted it to be tight. And that's how I got to Jorge, and Jorge has... I think he has made... You will not believe he's a first-time director.
Now, one thinks right away that, you know, that you would want to direct. Now, why didn't you want to direct? Do you not think that your skills are in that area, or...?
No. I'm going to direct. But in this one, I didn't want to be incestuous.
You what?
I don't want it to be incestuous, to direct my own novel. I wanted someone to have some distance.
Okay.
And since I was producing, I knew I was going to be very close to the film,
mm-hmm.
which I was.
And the locations are...
Are all in Mexico City.
Okay.
We made a casting for almost 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw people almost in every important city in Mexico. We even casted direct actors here in the States, like in Tucson or New York or Chicago or San Diego, because many actors come here to study acting from Latin America.
Mm.
And we have new faces. We have like five new actors, young actors, which I'm sure everyone is going to hear about them.
Has a web page been built? Is there a website for it?
It's going to be built.
Going to be?
It's going to be, because we have just closed the deal with Fox. No, Fox for Mexico, Latin America.
Oh.
We have
but not the, no English language.
No English language. Sure. We are expecting to sell it in Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
Fox was very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
They make us a record offer
mm-hmm.
for a Mexican film. Hold on, this is from Mexico.
Sure.
¿Qué pasa, mi amor? ¿Qué onda? Estoy en entrevista, mi amor. Ajá. Es un VHS que dice hay algo de las mariposas, algo así. Está en la cocina. Un VHS. Uno verde que me has dicho, ¿y ese qué es? Que dice de Juanma Ulloa. Está en la cocina, en la cosa blanca, lo te me dijiste, ¿y ese qué es? Está en la cocina, en las mesitas esas. Ok. Juanma Ulloa es el director. Sí, mi amor. Te quiero, chao. Sorry, it was my wife asking for a VHS.
How long have you been married?
I've been married almost 20 years.
Huh.
You have, I have read, how many kids you have?
Two.
Two? But they are like?
18 and 17.
Yeah, because they I read you every day. Really,
yeah.
you are good, and you have been supporting the Mexicans.
Yeah. Yeah. Alejandro and Guillermo del Toro last night watching the film, which was beautiful projection over there. Boy, I don't know if you read the thing, but it's so unfortunate that many supposedly first-rate theaters, the ArcLight accepted, which is first-rate.
Yeah.
You don't get the quality of projection.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I mean, the even with the titles, you know, the slight ghosting effect, mm-hmm. you know, not quite. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just razor sharp last night, and the entire frame
was feeling the
even the little curves in the corners you could see. So you're seeing the whole beautiful. And yeah. I really respect, you know, Chivo Lubezki. I thought I just loved it. You know?
I was mm-hmm. by the way, I was yesterday with Mark Abraham, who produced the film. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that just to have the baby scene, they spent almost 4 days planning it. Just the planning of how they were going to go in and
make it work with
and make it work
all CG and everything.
Yeah, I think that Alfonso reached heights of movie making.
Yeah, yeah. There's a friend who not to get off on that, but. Have you ever read the book? Did you ever have
No, the P.T. James, no. How is it? What?
I haven't read it, but I thought I might read it. There's a guy, there's some people, they're always the literalists. They want things backstoried and explained. And then there's the others, as the one critic said, when you watch a film, go with the given. Just, you know, unless it's wildly irrational and makes no sense to you. But, you know, generally, the whole thing is you either believe in the atmosphere and the reality of it, or you don't. Yeah.
I can tell you as a novelist who has been adapted twice. Mm-hmm. What you want as a novelist is to be respected in the essence of your book. I don't mind if they change the story. They adapted one of my novels a long time ago.
What was that?
In Mexico, it was a shame. I almost wanted my name to be taken out of that film. Mm. My film is about Mexican peasants. It's like a tragedy, mm-hmm. in the Greek sense of the word, and they put beautiful people dressed like Swiss, mm. like if we were really in Switzerland, not in Mexico, mm. and mm-hmm. they betray all the sense of the book. So I don't mind if, as an author, if they change it, if they respect the essence, the tone, sure. not the story.
Has it ever made it to DVD or on these shows?
Yeah, they even sell. I would recommend you not to see it.
Okay.
I will send you the number one when it comes out. It's coming out in June. Mm. I will send it to you. I will ask the publishing house to send it to you.
Okay.
And I will get the Night Buffalo. All of my work is going to be published here in the States.
Good.
And part of it is already published in the rest of the English-speaking countries.
Now, who is going to be with you up in Park City? How many people are going to be?
Basically, it's going to be Diego Luna, Jorge Hernandez, me, my partner, Enrique Lopez.
Producing partner?
My producing partner. Well, he financed the film. Mm. So we have a production company now in Mexico. And we're seeing if some of the actors are able to go. Mm-hmm. But and basically, this is the team. And Jimena Rodriguez, who's going to come later, she's the director of the company, okay. the production company.
Now, when is the very first screening? Do you know?
The 19th.
That's the Friday?
Yes.
So is it going to be at the library or the Eccles, or where is it going to be?
I really don't know.
I've forgotten what section. Is it? Is it in the premieres?
The world competition.
World competition.
It's opening the world competition. Yes.
Probably going to be at the Egyptian, then.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in the Egyptian. Yeah. I think. I really don't know. I will. And I'm very happy because, you know, being a writer is very lonely. Mm-hmm. Now, being a producer, you are in everything. Everything. I supervise everything.
Not to mention, I mean, are you negotiating for the locations, fees, the whole thing? Right?
Not only that, but basically I think that my work was creative. Is to give a new dimension to the film. And I have been really like ping-pong with the director. Mm-hmm.
How are you guys on shooting digitally versus shooting on film? Was it shot digitally or on film?
No, I think that we have production values. Basically, the production value is the risk. having new faces. Mm. Even non-actors are acting,
mm.
which I one of them has already been signed here in this agency.
Mm. Great. Good to hear. Who is that?
That's Gabriel Gonzalez, who's playing the other. They are in the verge of signing the two of the actresses.
Well, the reason I asked you earlier about the website is I wanted to know if I could get photos, good, clear, sharp
yeah.
JPEGs from the film online
okay.
somewhere.
Okay.
Can I?
Yeah.
Or
I will ask someone to put in touch with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, to call you to your cell phone or to call you to through the mail?
Email or cell phone, either
okay.
way.
Okay.
You know, if I could just have four or five.
Yes. Yeah, you have been very good with me for all these years. It's the least I can do.
Okay.
Try to send you the photos and yes.
All right.
Jimena will come. I ask her to come.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. Go ahead.
No. I didn't recognize who was
mm.
calling.
Mm.
And
how was long? I know that you're again. You're into pared down and lean and direct and clear. But was it longer? How long was your first cut? Did you have to work a while to get it to 89 minutes or whatever?
No. It was a little bit long.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking the span of time. It just sounded like it. You know,
well, we spent like five months editing.
Mm.
And I say we because I was every day there in the editing room.
Mm.
I think that one of my strengths is I know how to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And editing is also a way of telling stories.
Sure.
So, and I was let's cut here without any fear and boom,
mm-hmm.
boom.
You have to be harsh with yourself and be.
Yeah, I was very harsh, and the director was okay with it. We get along well. Of course, we have our clashes.
Sure,
it's natural, but it was a very respectful
mm-hmm.
relationship. I'm very happy with the film.
Mm-hmm.
Bueno. Sí. 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 Oiga, ¿puede ser en unos 10 minutos? Por favor. Por favor, gracias. Hasta luego.
Did your wife again?
Huh? No, I forgot I have an interview with Venezuela Radio. But I told them to call me later.
Interview with
you? In Venezuela.
Oh.
Venezuela, this... A very famous, how you say, anchor?
A what?
An anchor?
A TV anchor?
Yeah, that's a famous TV anchor.
TV personality.
Yes, a TV personality, but has a radio program, and
okay.
He's like the most famous in Venezuela, and I know him from several years ago.
I'm just curious, have you ever met Chavez?
No.
Does he like filmmakers? Do you have filmmaking friends? Do you hear anything?
He has a lot of filmmaking friends. That's for sure.
Did you ever see that documentary called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised?
No.
By a couple of Irish documentarians.
No, I haven't seen
it. Who happened to be there when the coup against him that
okay.
temporarily succeeded
wow.
and then it was overturned. Great filming.
Yeah, really? No, I haven't met him. I haven't seen the documentary. Venezuela is like my second country.
How come?
I went once, and they treat me so well
mm-hmm.
that I've been going back every year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been?
Never.
No, people is so sweet, and it's amazing because it's like they say, "Hi, Jeff, where are you from? What are you doing tonight? Okay, I'm gonna throw a party for you." It's like, and you go there, and everyone says, "Ah, you're Jeff. I'm gonna throw you a party tomorrow."
Right.
So you go from party to party to party to party because this is really warm people,
right.
Extremely warm people. I really like Venezuela. So I have been seeing this Chavez growth.
I've only been to Argentina and of course Mexico. That's about it. I never and not counting Central America. Belize. Guatemala.
Okay.
Never been to Nicaragua. I've Latin America, I'm not
It's great.
Yeah.
You had to go back.
So for some reason, I don't want to go, don't feel much enthusiasm about Brasil, because I don't, I dislike all the intense overbuilding, particularly Sao Paulo and all that. It just doesn't seem like it's sort of like, I feel I have enough of that here.
No, Rio is amazing.
Yeah.
And, Rio is amazing. The first time I went to Rio, to Brazil, I hate it. But now I have been going almost every year,
mm-hmm.
because my books have been published there.
Mm-hmm.
And they invite me all the time. And it's great. I really recommend it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I got a critic friend named Pablo Vilaca,
uh-huh.
who wrote a column at one point for my thing and also for David Poland's site. And so there's two or three others that I know down there. But I'd love to go there. So logistically, I'm just trying to plan, because I want to put this out before the festival begins. I'm figuring maybe a couple days before it starts.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So what logistically, when do you think I might be able to see
Let me see where Jimena is, and we will set up the right place and the right time.
Okay.
She's very nice.
I can appreciate, obviously, you'd much rather that I see a completed work naturally.
Yeah, because... ¿Dónde anda, chica? Okay, porque quiero que me ayudes aquí con Jeffrey, porque... Él ha sido muy buena onda con nosotros y quiero que nos ayude con su columna, con la película. Ok, aquí te espero. She's going to be here in 5 minutes.
Five minutes.
Jimena is arriving here in 5 minutes and she will set up everything. She will tell me when she can show you the DVD, when you can have the photos, and anything you need, she will help me. She's better than me to solve these things. My company is run by two very young women. Kimena is 27. She's the director and the... how you say in English? The head of development,
mm-hmm.
is 24. And both are girls.
Hmm.
And,
you meet them in right when they were in film school? Or?
No. One of them was my former student.
Okay.
She was going to be the assistant of the head of development, the guy, but he panicked and said, no, it's too much. I'm overwhelmed by what is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no problem, I'll take it if you don't mind. And she has been great.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimena will produce a film when she was 21, in a long feature in Mexico. She's famous because of that, and not only produced it, she distributed it. And it was a success.
Mm-hmm.
So...
What kind of state is the Mexican film industry now? I mean, is production up? I mean, what's the state of it now?
It's a very low production,
mm-hmm.
Numbers. I'll tell you, it's basically 25 films a year. According to the United Nations, you need one film per each 1 million inhabitants. So to have a healthy industry, Mexico needs 150 films, because we are 150 million in Mexico.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have 20. Right. It's very difficult to make films in Mexico. Extremely difficult.
Because
there are no tax exemptions or incentives. They have just approved one. The exhibitors take 65% of the box office.
There's no sliding arrangement?
It's very difficult. You have to be a major to do so. Basically, the producer in Mexico receives around the 17-20% of the box office. And we don't have a huge market. And you know...
You mean everybody's watching DVDs, staying home? Nobody... No.
We have a great audience. But not enough to sustain. In Mexico, it costs $4 each ticket. So in order to recoup your money, you need to win almost 14 million, 15 million box office. And for example, Amores Perros make 10 million. Y Tu Mamá También make 12 million. So it's almost impossible to get to the 15 million. You need to go to other markets. Have the chance to go to other markets. We are the first Mexican film, I think, that pre-sold the movie to territories like Turkey or Greece or Serbia. It's been sold to all these territories.
I'm really surprised what you're telling me. I would have figured that Amores Perros y Tu Mamá would be very, very popular down there. No?
It's very popular. 12 million, it's a lot of money. $12 million means it has like 4 million people attending cinemas. 4 million and a half, it's a lot of people. But it's very cheap. It's $4, or $3.50. So you don't have enough market. And in Mexico, the piracy of DVDs is so huge that really there's very small income from DVD. So you need to sell it to other markets.
Well, I mean, people don't have DVD players?
No, they have big DVD players, but they are pirate DVDs.
Pirated DVDs, okay.
They copy it illegally and sell it for...
So it's as bad as China, for instance.
Yeah, it's like China. They sell it for $1. And of course, what do you prefer, to have the DVD for $20? You have to realize that Mexico, the income of the wages are 8 times less in Mexico than the United States, but the DVDs cost exactly the same. So what these people do, they go and buy the pirate. So it's difficult for a producer.
Is there an equivalent? Okay. Is there an equivalent to the ArcLight down there?
No.
Like a couple of really good theaters, high quality projection.
No, basically no. They are like the multiplexes has arrived like 10 years ago, and that's improving the growth of the audience.
Are the light levels sufficient in your view? I mean, the theaters you've been to, I mean, decent light levels, decent projections?
Yeah, decent, yeah. That happens. Sometimes it's not in Mexico, because Mexico has been a very important market. For example, a movie like the like Shrek 2 made like 33 million only in Mexico, which is a lot. I think Mexico is the third or fourth more important market after the United States. It's huge. And it's the one that is growing more. But it's difficult for Mexican films.
So ideally, if the film is picked up and everything, it'll be out in this country maybe, what, in the fall or something?
In the fall, yes. I hope so.
I don't know why it always seems to take so long when a film, a really good one, at Sundance, sometimes you don't see it until all the way into the next year.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why that is.
Right now, a lot of people has called the attention of a lot of people. I have been receiving calls from American distributors. They are interested in my work. And it's my second Mexican film. It's a very sexy film.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a love story. In Mexico, really, Fox was like really enthusiastic about it.
Can you tell me what the title means?
This guy who's schizophrenic tells to his friend, a night buffalo roams in my room at night. I can hear him breathing. His death that is close to me. That's what it means. It's an hallucination by the schizophrenic guy. So it's called a night buffalo.
Do you have any experience personally with schizophrenians in terms of a friend or someone in your family?
Yes, yes. So some couple of people who were close. to me in my life, and I also have my major is in communication, but I was specialized in psychology, so I have some practices in mental asylums.
Right.
So.
My sister is schizophrenic.
Yeah.
At the the medications I've been getting.
And she's doing
much.
Okay.
She's never worse, but she's lives a moderately okay life.
Uh-huh.
I took her to Europe and pretty but she's not she didn't get do much, It's like, I think the people that have had it, they're not terribly organized or ambitious. It tends to be about maintaining and not going into the rabbit holes.
Yeah, so I have this. I basically write only of things I know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though if it's in place I had never been, like Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
But I write of things that I know closely. I know, for example, very closely goat keepers in the north of Mexico, which resembles a lot to Morocco. So.
And what do you say to those people who criticize Babel? Well, honestly, there's some people, not everybody loves it. They say that it's too much of a stacked deck. It's too, like the forces of darkness seem to be coalescing and oppressing, suppressing these people. And like one guy was saying to me, that why isn't there something lighthearted or whimsical? Maybe, somebody meets somebody in a bar and something cool happens. Why is there's this cloud over the movie? And I know it's been explained, like Alejandro explained to me, that something about the way people in Mexico, so it's the south of the border, way of seeing life in much more emotionally extreme ways than what people in this country do. But do you have an answer to that?
Well, I think that when you are a creator, you have a position in the world, a view from the world. And I think that it's difficult to get out of that point of view. No, it's like it's a way you see life. It's a way committed to see life in different manner. I think it has to be with culture or anything. It has to be with the way you see life. And it's the same kind of questioning they do to William Faulkner. Why do you write only about the Deep South as a place of darkness and clouds? No?
Right.
And if they say if it's stacked, I saw The Pursuit of Happiness, which I think is a good film. But it's also a stack of things that happens to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way I view the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, many times it's absurd how events begin to relate each other, like having a connection and pushing things to dark places.
Mm-hmm.
A dumb thing.
So.
But in the end, I think it's a very hopeful film. I think the last scene is a statement of hope and union and love and acceptance.
And it's people have said to me, and I agree that a scene in which a father is tenderly embracing, sheltering, protective ways, make a teenage daughter, you would never see that in an American film. But it's done very, obviously very touching.
But that doesn't mean it will not happen in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if you have a deaf and mute daughter who was witness of her mother's suicide,
mm-hmm.
and you see her in a balcony completely destroyed, you don't mind if she's naked or not naked. No, you will not even ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
She just wants to hug her and tell her everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with you. If I find my own daughter, which is a teenager, naked, crying, what will I say to her? Go dress yourself. What are you doing here? I will just hug her, protect her, and gently take her back home and allow her to be calm. But first of all, I have to show her humanity and solidarity and tenderness, which I think this father does to her teenage daughter.
Well, the audience understands and feels the very same way when they're watching. And that's the power of the film, because I was just being banal by saying that America is such a prudish country that that sort of thing would never render itself. That's one of the interesting things that just occurred to me.
And I don't think it's overstacked. It's like, you know, someone that's wounded in a lonely place, it has to have consequences. No? Yeah. I explore them in the three burials. Mm-hmm. Also, someone shooting randomly, mm-hmm. or basically by mistake, mm-hmm. which is the same case of the three burials. It has consequences. And I want to explore those consequences. Of course, it can go well. It can be serendipity. You remember that film with Kate Beckinsale which are romantic
John
comedy.
Cusack?
Yeah, it can.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, it can go. It can go that way. Everything can go any way. Mm-hmm. But this is a point of view comedy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you my novel. You'll see. I have been going through this since I was 24. Mm-hmm. And it's the same that they told William Faulkner. Exactly the same.
Hmm. That it was a stacked deck, it was too much of one way of looking at it. Yeah.
If you read, for example, the Sound and Fury, some of the critics of his time saying, well, this is a guy who's retarded, who has been castrated, who wanted to fuck his sister, mm-hmm. and his brother commits suicide, and the other one is, why don't he can talk about the American dream? Because that's point of view. That's it. of course, William Faulkner is my favorite.
I'm curious, what part of Mexico City do you and your wife and your, you have one daughter, you say?
One daughter and one son.
One son. Where do you live? What neighborhood do you live in?
We live in the it's called Villa Verdun. It's up in the mountains. You know, Mexico City is a valley. Mm-hmm. It's up in the mountains. It's like one of the last neighborhoods. Middle class neighborhood.
I thought that Mexico City was a large plateau.
It's a plateau. It's a valley, surrounded by huge mountains. Mountains where it snows.
All my life, when I was a kid, I was taught. I mean, that you know, plateau is a ground that rises and it's flat.
No.
That's
no.
Complete. I've been wrong.
No, you've been wrong all of your life. This is a valley.
Is that why there's smog? Because there's.
Yes, that's because of it. It used to be a lake. Mm-hmm. The city is built on a lake. Mm-hmm. And that's why when there's an earthquake, there's so great damage, because everything that's beneath is mud, mm-hmm. and water. And it's funny, but many Americans go there and with Hawaiian shirts and shorts and sandals, and it's right now it's freezing. Mm-hmm. It's very cold. In the surroundings of Mexico City, it snows. Mm. So it's not like it's gonna be like Washington D.C. or Chicago or that kind. But it's very cold. Mm. It must be like in the 20s. Mm. Some days. That's where we shot the film.
I was going to go there once on my way down to Argentina. The plane was gonna stop. Uh-huh. I call you or I call Alejandro, but I was looking to just go in there for one day, you know, just stop there.
If you go there, I will take you around.
Yeah.
I will show you the secret places. It's a very interesting city. I will not tell you.
Paris convinced me of that. It was a great town.
It's a great town. Mm. It's a great town. Mm. It can be very beautiful. It can be very ugly. Contradiction, I think, is the word that better defines Mexico City. It's very interesting. I'm not telling you that you're going to see a beautiful city. You're going to see an interesting city.
What did you think, by the way, of Man on Fire? Did you see that?
I have not.
Didn't like it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh.
They told me it depicts Mexico City like in a very bad way.
Very venal, corrupt.
Yeah. So I wasn't interested. It's very difficult for Americans.
But kidnapping is a business there, no?
Yes.
Guillermo del Toro, his father was kidnapped back in 97, right?
Yes, one of the reasons Alejandro came here was because he was fear of being kidnapped. So it's a reality, of course, but it's not always like that. It's like I studied in New York in the 70s, mm-hmm. and I can tell you after living in New York and living in Mexico that New York was by far in the 70s much more dangerous than Mexico City has ever been. Right. I've never seen a murder in Mexico, and in New York I saw a guy stabbing another guy. In the street, and I was young, and I liked to go to the Broadway and 42nd area, very dangerous area.
Not anymore.
No, now it's. Yeah, way back but back. It was. Well, you must remind it. Mm. And you has been there, like a couple weeks ago or the week before.
The whole month, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids were back there.
Okay.
So are you going to have a gathering after the movie is shown? You're going to have a little gathering? You know,
yes.
Then?
Yes. There's going to be a party.
Mexican cuisine, I trust?
I hope so. Jimenez is organizing everything. I will invite you to the party, of course.
Yeah.
And and I will try to show you the film before.
No, I will not then. You're telling me be able to link to the website because it's not constructed.
No, it's not constructed yet. What I'm gonna try to give you is photographs directly to you.
Okay.
To give you a CD or something. Jimena will. Let me see what's going on with her. She's beautiful, by the way. Very nice. Very funny, and she speaks English without an accent. En el 2 ya vente, porfa.
I guess that's it.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to speak.
No. Thank you for everything. Do you mind if I take this clip? No? Jimena's going to be here in 1 minute. She's upstairs. Bueno.